Hi, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Professional Book Nerds Podcast. This is Jill, and today's episode is an interview I did with the hilarious and delightful Helen Ellis about her new book, Bring Your Baggage and Don't Pack Light, which is a collection of essays about friendships and growing older. Helen has been on the podcast before. We love her. She's hilarious, and her book is so good, as is everything else she's written. If you want to get a hold of us, you can visit our website, professionalbooknerds.com. We are also on Twitter, Instagram, and now TikTok at ProBookNerds. And you can always email us at professionalbooknerds@overdrive.com. Big Library Read is still going on. And this Wednesday, July 7th, is our live interview with SF Kosa, where we will talk about her book, The Quiet Girl. And you can, there's still time to register, so you can visit biglibraryread.com for more information. There's a discussion board on there if you've already read the book. And there is, of course, still time to check out The Quiet Girl Without Wait List or Holds from your library's OverDrive site. I think that's everything. It's very short and sweet today. If you're off like we are for the holiday, I hope you enjoy your time off. And I hope you enjoy this interview I did with Helen Ellis on the Professional Book Nerds Podcast. Hi, everyone. This is Jill. My guest today is Helen Ellis, author of Southern Lady Code, American Housewife, and Eating the Cheshire Cat. She's also previous podcast author. We've had her on before. And she's a big Libby and OverDrive user as well. I remember we spent a lot of time talking about that last time. Her latest collection of essays is Bring Your Baggage and Don't Pack Light. Helen, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you so much. I was just using my Libby this morning to put Malibu Rising on hold.
The new Taylor Jenkins Reid.
Yeah. Yes, I have to tell you, I have no idea what it's about, but the cover has drawn me in.
We mentioned that on our June book pick episode from last week. It's like a society family is having a big party and there's lots of secrets from what I remember.
Enjoy all of those things.
Yes, that was my thing. Yeah, I'm very excited for that one. But it does have a really fantastic cover that just, yeah, you're like, I want to be wherever that is. That's great.
Yes.
So can you start by giving our listeners a brief introduction to Bring Your Baggage and Don't Pack Light?
So Bring Your Baggage and Don't Pack Light really stemmed from a grown-ass ladies trip I took to Panama City Beach with four of my friends since middle school. We've known each other for 40 years. And we did a similar trip 10 years before that for our high school reunion that nobody went to. And so we got together and it was a moment where I realized how proud I was of our friendship and of what some of my friends were going through. I had one friend who arrived, with her sunscreen and sun hat and a bad mammogram diagnosis. And I had another friend who arrived really reborn in a second stage of life after having gotten out of a bad marriage and remarried and was really just soaring to new heights. I was so proud of how both of those people were dealing with things. And then we took a couple of other trips that sort of revolved around my friend surviving that cancer. And that's where the idea for the book really sprang. Because the book is about longtime friends, dear friends who accept each other exactly the way that we are. You can come with all your baggage, whether that's literal or away bags, whether that's, drinking a little too much when you're away from your kids, whether that's, being afraid of driving and therefore always sitting in the back seat, which would be me, whatever the baggage is, literal or metaphysical, we accept each other just the way we are and we encourage each other like we did when we were 12 years old.
Can I just say, if you're the one like in the back seat, I feel like your friends must be just like amazing.
And I write about in the book how for 20 something years I've been taking an Atlantic City bus to Atlantic City to play cards because my husband and I do not know how to drive. You know, if there's a zombie apocalypse, I will wing it. But that's a little bit of baggage that I carry around in that I'm always in the back seat.
That's okay. I mean, you know, if you live somewhere where you don't need to know how to drive, that's fine. I think it's fine. You know, it's funny. I was interviewing another author this morning and we were talking about those friendships that you have that are very much like the ones you're talking about. I was saying how, you know, especially in this pandemic, there are friends where it's hard to keep up with text messages and sometimes with people, but to have those friendships where it can be like weeks go by and I just like
years
send a quick
go by.
Yeah, or years go by and you can just like send a quick little message and you don't have to apologize for being like, I'm sorry, it took me so long. Or,
yes,
you know, if they don't respond right away to you, you don't, you know, worry that they're like mad at you or whatever. And so having those friendships is so important.
And it's the same friend where you can see them for the first time in 10 years and spill your guts. Things yes. you wouldn't tell people you've known who are in your life every day, but you know that you can trust those. I don't like to say old friends, your dear friends, your childhood friends. You know that they can keep a secret. And again, they're always going to be on your side. It's never.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's funny. I was supposed to have my 20-year high school reunion last year. Yeah, so I am of a certain age. I turned 40 this year, which is just weird to think about, but also sort of like where my childhood friends and I are now and everything that we've like gone through. And, you know, like you're talking about like showing up with a bad mammogram or people like relationships ending, getting divorced and all that stuff. And just like still having those people in your life who will just be like, oh, let me carry some of that baggage for you.
Yes.
If you
yes.
need it.
Yes. This yeah. is the good side. Oh, this is another side of 40 is the good side. You
know, that's what I've heard.
The older you get, the less you care.
yeah, I stopped caring within the last like couple of years, but I have heard that about, yeah, like getting to 40. And so I'm looking forward to that. You know, one thing I always love about your books and your essays is you're just so like open and transparent. You never seem to hold back on really anything.
Thank you. Well, I'll tell you, that's like we were just saying, the older I get, the easier it is for me to be, I guess the word is vulnerable with what I tell you. I think that Southern Lady Code was the first time I wrote nonfiction, and Bring Your Baggage is the second time. And I think I'm even more open with this book. I'm kind of learning how to do it as I go. But really, things in the book are things that my nearest and dearest friends already know. So I think of readers as, you know, good friends. And I know that you would never judge me, or at least not say it on Twitter.
No, never.
You can judge me in the privacy of your own home. Just don't do it.
You know, I would never judge you.
You're going to say something not so nice. Say it behind my back. I beg of you.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah. If you're going to say something not nice, I don't need to hear about it. Go tell somebody
else.
Right.
That's right. Who has a problem with the false compliment? Not me.
Not me. Not at all. I do, you know, like, so we are obviously, this book is coming out. I don't want to say towards the end of the pandemic, but we are not at the beginning of the pandemic anymore. So like,
yeah, there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
There is a light at the end of the tunnel. So what exactly, like, have you been keeping yourself busy during the pandemic?
Gosh, that comes to mind. I think about the beginning of the pandemic, and I was finishing this book at the beginning of the pandemic. So that kept me busy. And then it was ironing. I started ironing. I ironed everything and listened to audiobooks. I have such a memory of listening to the Southern book clubs Guide to
Slaying Vampires, yes.
Which I thought was so well read and such a fantastic book. You have to skip chapter 15. And I have such memories of just ironing the sheets. I have given that up. I've cooked everything. I have given that up, although there is a meatloaf in the oven right now. And now I'm happy to admit that I have a new book deal with Doubleday, and I'm writing a new book of essays all about marriage. So talk about intimate.
Yeah, I remember, I think last time we talked about your husband a little bit, and like,
I live with my muse. And the thing about writing the essays, which I never expected to do, is everyone starts with, I have to tell you about this, whether it's, I have to tell you about how brave my friend is, or I have to tell you about how my friend had a baby at 50, or I have to tell you about how I went and got back alley Botox, you know, with my other friend. You know, it's all stems from me saying, look how great she is. And with the new book, it's going to be, look how great my husband is. He's pretty cute. He's keeping the cat in the other room.
No, I mean, that's an important job. That's an important job to keep the cat in the other room.
Working from home, you know, he's a newsman and he's been working from home all this time. So it's been really fascinating for me to see, you know, the election coverage and every other story, you know, just on the other side of this wall. It's been fascinating.
Yeah, I imagine. Clearly, you probably have not been to Atlantic City playing poker in a while.
No, I'm so sad. I am thinking about the next time I'm going to play live poker. It will probably be the World Series. And that's usually where I am right now, because it usually happens in Vegas, May, June, July. That's not happening now, but they've scheduled it for the fall, October, which is perfect for Las Vegas.
That is, yeah.
But I haven't played live poker since January of 2020. I've played a lot of online poker this year, which I never did before. And I've sort of had to change my whole game, because usually part of my game is looking the way that I do, which is very, you know, innocent. And online, I can't see you. So I've had to, and I can't see anybody else, because I'm such a person who reads the other person.
Sure.
And I think about going back to live poker, and I really miss it desperately. And from what I've seen, there are like plexiglass dividers between every seat, which is not so bad, because, you know, those are very crowded tables. And usually I sit there for hours with two strangers' knees touching my knees. yeah, I miss it. I miss it terribly. And I wonder if I'll get back on the bus, probably. I have to say, I'm not coming out of this any more dramatically concerned about germs than I was going into it.
I mean, you know.
You know.
You know. One thing I always wonder is sort of like, you know, you have this book is about friendship. Your next one is about marriage. Like, how do you decide what stories go in there? Because I'm sure you have a lot to choose from.
That's a good question. When I was writing Bring Your Baggage, I didn't know what was going to go into it. I had agreed and happily agreed to do another collection. And I remember sitting with my editor at lunch one day saying, I don't know what I'm going to write about. And she says, well, just write about what we've talked about for the last hour of lunch, because we would have lunch and I would say, oh my gosh, we went to see Teresa Caputo at the casino, it was amazing, or oh my gosh, you know, my girlfriend just had a baby and I was right there up close and personal, or you know, things like that. So really those things came to me, they just presented themselves to me. Like in the new book, I had my first colonoscopy this year during the pandemic. Okay. And let me tell you, I need to tell you all about it. So usually it's something that just pops up. And then I see a theme emerge, you know, and that was what I kept writing about was women of my age, women pushing 50 who won't be pushed around. And that's just what my life is full of, is good close friends that I want to brag about.
They don't mind you bragging about them.
If you're in the book, you come off well. Like that's the thing. You come off very well in the book.
But I mean, I think it's just, you know, there's something about, you know, like I said, you're very, you, like, you never seem to hold back, but the fact that you can take something like a colonoscopy or any of these like other things that you write about and you're like, this sounds, yes, I would like to read this essay, please. It's just, that's a skill that I feel like not many people have.
Well, thank you. Well, you know, they say laughter is the best medicine, and it really is true. You know, I come from a family who always, you know, has a joke no matter what the dire situation is. And like my friend Vicky, who was going through cancer and a double mastectomy and radiation and chemotherapy and so much, would call me and say, you know, just make me laugh. And that's how I could help. Other people helped in many other better ways, but that's, you know, that's what I can do.
I don't know if I would say better. I think that's a very important role to have as that friend that somebody can call you and be like, I just need someone to make me laugh.
Yeah. Thank you. And I need the same thing. You know, I just watched, you know, I watch a lot of comedy specials, and I just watched Bo Burnham's new special, Inside. Have you seen this yet?
Not yet.
Need to watch it. I think it's, you talk about what people write during the pandemic. I thought it was so well written, but then it was such an inside view of his creative process. I thought it was just fantastic. And it makes, when I see something like that, it makes me want to do better work, or he's that vulnerable. It makes me want to be vulnerable. Same with, I read Samantha Irby's new book at the beginning of the pandemic. Actually, I didn't read it. I listened to it because she's such a good narrator. Has a great voice. And it was such an alleviation for me of tension. And again, I see her be that vulnerable, and I think she can do it. You know, I can do it. Everything was pushing 40 in that book, and I thought, well, let me tell you what happens in 10 years.
You know, and like, it's, I think, you know, would you say, like, did you set out, do you think, to write comedic or things that are funny, or do you think that's just sort of like what your natural voice was?
I think it's what my natural voice is, but my motto with every essay is be funny, be honest, and be kind. I think there are a lot of ways to tell stories, and I think, you know, a kind way, just because you're kind doesn't mean it's not funny. Just because you're honest doesn't mean it's not funny. Just because you're funny doesn't mean you can't be taken seriously. You know, there's something to be said for that spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down. It's, you're just going to find more people to pay attention, I think, if you crack a joke or two. I just can't help it.
For like 20 minutes I've been talking to you and can't stop laughing, so I guess that's, you're not like intentionally trying to, you just sort of, yeah, you have that natural.
If I was intentionally trying to, I would have worn my cat ears from last time.
That's right. Yes. We were talking about that before, about how when we interviewed, yeah, I was at ALA or something. And yeah, you were wearing cat ears.
I had once years and years ago, like, I'm a lady who will put a hat on. And years ago, we used to have, for years, we had a annual Christmas party that included a lot of my husband's newsroom staff. And he had a new, you know, I guess boss, if that's the right word, and coming to the Christmas party for the first time. And he asked all the staff, how will I know who Helen is? And everyone's, like, three people told him she's the exact opposite of him. And he walked into the party, and there I was with a huge, like, a peppermint fascinator on my head that someone had brought me as a gift. And I put it right on. So that's how you spot me. I'm happy to put a hat on.
Put a hat on. Yeah. So you mentioned, yes, Samantha Irby, you mentioned, yeah. So like, what other audiobooks have you been listening to lately?
Well, I'll tell you, I just listened to Sharon Stone's new audiobook. Okay. And she was a terrific reader. Again, when I hand sell that book, which I do hand sell because I think it's an outstanding opening chapter, and I think it's well written, that lady has been through quite a lot. And I think she's 63.
Wow.
And looks freaking fantastic. I say, listen to the audio. because it's just going to be so much better. I'm trying to think of what else I have said, listen to the audio about. Anything that I believe her name is Maren Ireland. She read Nothing to See Here. She read In Good Company. You know, anything she reads and Rebecca Lohman reads, or Dorothea, Dorothy Billingham Blue, who read a couple of stories on American Housewife, anything they read, I'm going to listen to no matter what the book is. Cause I always have an audio book going. Although I do, sometimes you listen to an oldie, because yeah, I'm in this plastic trashy book club where we read Sydney Sheldon and that sort of thing. And you'll listen to these books that were recorded, you know, 40 years ago. And I swear you can hear like the lozenge in the person's mouth, and the pages flip, and a cat in the background. So they've come a long way.
They have. They have. Actually, speaking of, yeah, I really like Bonnie Turpin, who I think did do the Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires, yeah, which you mentioned. Yeah.
Many voices she had to do.
Yeah, she's really good. I love pretty much anything she does. But I do agree that if you can get a book like Samantha Irby's or Sharon Stone's, where the author narrates, it's...
I read my own.
See, like, so yeah. Got to get the audiobook of yours. See,
yes. I love to do it.
This is a good question. I don't think I've ever had the authors who's done their own on the podcast before, and we've talked about it, but do you do it at your house? Like, did you go
no,
to
thank studio? The Lord. So for Southern Lady Code, I went into PRH offices where they have a whole floor, but this time, because of COVID, I went into another studio, and my director, who I had requested from the last time because I thought he was so terrific, was facing me on like a screen in a recording booth. And then on the other side of a window was the, you know, recording person.
Okay. Yeah.
two men. And I'm reading this book about menopause and sex and all these things. And I swear the two of them just blushed the whole time. I love to do it because, you know, I know how it sounds in my head. And when I write, I really do write like I talk. And so I want you to hear, you know, to hear my tone and my timbre.
Right. How long did it take you to, I mean, you didn't do it in one day or anything.
Yes, I did, because apparently I'm a natural.
Wow, that's quite impressive.
I did it, I think I read it in like maybe 5 hours. And that includes I can never say the word Massachusetts, you know, or certain words I have trouble with. So I had to he had to sound it out for me so I could say it. I still didn't remember it. But the book, just one day, and I loved every minute of it.
That's quite impressive. That is very impressive.
Call me if you need anything.
There you go. Maybe you could make a living as an audiobook narrator on top of it.
I tell you, I go back to that Good Company book I just read, and one of the characters did voiceovers for commercials and characters, and I thought, that sounds like a lot of fun. I would like to do that.
So seeing that, people, you can read Helen's book and you can also listen to it. Yes. And hear more of her delightful Southern accent.
Pack your bags and take a road trip with your girlfriends and let me yak the whole way.
There you go. So I always love talking to you, and you're one of those people where I'm like, we could talk for hours, but life. So as a final question, what do you hope readers take away from reading Bring Your Baggage and Don't Pack Light?
I hope readers take away hope, because this book was started with reunions of friends, and that's what I'm looking forward to the most. I think about being in real life this August at the Mississippi Book Festival, and my two friends from the first story are coming over from Georgia to meet me there. It'll be the first time I've seen them since So I want readers to take away the hope for seeing friends, the hope for continuing long friendships, and the hope for a day where we can all sit around on big unicorn inner tubes and drink pina coladas.
That sounds delightful.
Is that just me?
No, I'm all there with you. That sounds wonderful. Well, Helen, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me. Always a treat.
Readers can sample and borrow the titles mentioned in today's episode from overdrive.com, and our library friends can purchase these titles in Marketplace. Professional Book Nerds is proud to be an Evergreen Podcast signature program. To learn about other Evergreen podcasts, visit evergreenpodcasts.com. Our podcast is produced, recorded, and edited by Adam Sokol and Jill Grunewald, and presented by Overdrive. For more information, visit professionalbooknerds.com.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.